Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 213. On today's show, we'll be heading into the kitchen with three common Caribbean ingredients and putting together one of Puerto Rico's signature dishes. Let's cook mofongo. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, and glad you're with me today because we're going to be doing a live cooking episode today. I've actually got a couple of these recorded and queued up. Just need to finish editing them before they're ready to go. But today, we're going to be jumping in the kitchen and making mofongo. It's one I've been wanting to do for a while now, finally got around to it, so I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. Not only is it fun to say, it's great to eat. We'll talk about that more in a minute, right before we jump into the kitchen. I do want to mention that the show notes for this episode are available at kitchencounterpodcast.com/213. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/213. I've had people email me before asking how to find the show notes for these episodes. If you just remember the formula, that it's the episode number, and you can plug that in anywhere after kitchencounterpodcast.com/, then the episode number, it'll take you to whatever show notes you're after. And I think, in every episode to repeat it a couple of times at least. But if you don't hear me say it, just listen to what I say at the very beginning of the show for episode number, and then you should be able to find the show notes directly. You could also Google the episode. If you just put in Kitchen Counter Podcast and whatever it is I'm making, you should find it that way too. In the show notes, I'll have the recipe I'm using today to make the mofongo, along with some photographs from the live cooking session and some links to equipment and things like that. So kitchencounterpodcast.com/213. For today's show. If you'd like to get a hold of me directly, send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also find me on social media sites here and there. I do mostly lurking these days. I've been a bit busy, so I haven't been engaging a whole lot directly with folks. Sorry about that, but I'm there and I'm reading. You can find all the social media if you head over to the show notes page. I'll list them all there at the bottom. Also, be sure to head over to southernfood.org, where you can check out the Nitty Grits Network, which is a network of podcasts all about food, culture, and drink, hosted by the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans, Louisiana. All right, let's get into the episode today. So I'm making mofongo, and I may have mentioned it before. I think there was an episode where I talked about plantains briefly, and I may have mentioned mofongo. I can't remember. Even if I did, I certainly didn't cook through it live on an episode. But I'm happy to bring this to you today because not only is it an interesting dish, it's relatively easy and it's quite delicious. Now, a couple of notes about what you're going to hear as I cook through. I'm cooking a very basic form of mofongo. Well, I say basic, but really it is basic in whatever form you take it. It's simply fried green plantains, pork cracklings, also known as chicharrones, and garlic and salt. And you cook those up and you mash them together. And what you end up with is a very savory, comforting, starchy dish, kind of like doctored up mashed potatoes you might find somewhere in the United States. So I focus on that component. But what I didn't go into a whole lot of detail in the episode were the accompaniments that you could put with your mofongo, because by itself, while it tastes fine, it really does sing if you pair it with some sort of a broth or a soup or a sauce, and those can be wide and varied. They could be seafood based, they could be vegetarian based, they could be chicken or beef based. In this episode, I just use a simple beef broth to eat it, and because that's what I had on hand, so that's what I used. I'll put some links in the show notes to some ideas of things that you could pair with your mofongo, but just know that you can get creative with the flavor combinations that you put together with your mofongo based on the sauce or the liquid that you serve it with. Also, I didn't mention this in the live cook-through, but mofongo, like many Caribbean dishes, have very strong ties to Africa and are very heavily influenced by African cuisine and the cuisines and the foods and the ingredients and the methods that were brought to the Caribbean from Africa. In this particular case, the inspirational dish would be West African fufu, which was traditionally made with the starchy cassava, whereas a Puerto Rican mofongo is made with a plantain. And there are some other differences where fufu is more like a dough and mofongo is more like a mashed starches. A little bit different, but that's the connection there. I'll put some links in the show notes about that as well. Again, the recipe I used will be in the show notes. I don't go through it in perfect detail in the cook-through because I'm making a smaller batch. So to get the exact recipe for four, head over to the show notes. Otherwise, let's now hop over to the kitchen and we'll do a live cook-through of mofongo. Hope you enjoy it. Hey everybody, welcome to the kitchen. Today is mofongo day. Super excited about this. So let's jump right into it. What I'm going to do in this live cooking episode is I'm going to go through the ingredients, the equipment you're going to need to make mofongo, and then high level, I'll summarize how we're going to put it together and the steps we'll need, and then we'll cook through a batch of it in real time. First of all, for ingredients, by the way, the recipe will be in the show notes. I'm making a smaller than normal batch today, so I'm not going to get too nitpicky with the ingredient quantities in the live cook through. But again, if you head over to the show notes, you can get the actual recipe. But we need plantains. That's the primary ingredient in mofongo. And it's important that they are green plantains, unripe plantains. That's important. We do not want yellow or blackened plantains. Get them green. We're going to need a couple of cloves of garlic, which I'm going to roast. You don't have to roast it. I prefer it roasted. You want pork cracklings or chicharrones. I just went ahead and went to the Latin store this morning and picked up a couple of pieces of chicharron from them because they make it there fresh daily. And I'll talk about that in more detail in a minute. A little bit of salt. And of course, you're going to need some oil to fry the plantains. As far as equipment goes, you're going to need a pot, of course, to fry your plantains in with the oil. And then some sort of a slotted spoon or a spider or a spatula or something to get the plantains in and out of the oil. You're going to need cutting board, a knife. And then you're also going to need some way to mash up the mofongo because that's one of the primary methods here is mashing all this stuff together after we cook it up. I've got a traditional pilon, which is like a molcajete or a mortar and a pestle. This is a wooden pilon and it's more like upright and goblet shaped, if you will, than it is bowl shaped like a traditional molcajete or mortar and pestle. You could use any of those as long as you have enough volume, like a small mortar and pestle where you're just crushing up some spices, probably not gonna do it for you. If you don't have access to any of that, you can use something like a nice sturdy stainless steel bowl and a potato masher, or if you have a heavy-duty cocktail muddler or something like that, you could use that to mash too. It does take a little bit of elbow grease to mash, so whatever it is that you use, you want to make sure it's sturdy and not fragile because you're going to be pounding it down and mashing it together quite a bit. I'll put a picture of the pilon in the show notes so you can see what it is I'm talking about. You can pick them up fairly inexpensively online, but oftentimes your local home goods store, or if you have a local Latin market, they'll probably have them too. By the way, I mentioned I'm going to roast the garlic. For that, I'm actually going to do a stovetop method, which I'll talk about in a second. So I've got a really small skillet here and a little bit of olive oil in it. All right, let's talk about putting this together. So the first thing we need to do is take our plantains, and I'm only making a batch for two, so I'm only using two good-sized plantains. These are probably about 10 or 12-inch plantains. They're green. I'm going to cut the ends off of these plantains. And then I'm going to cut a seam down each plantain and then peel the green skin off of them. Green plantains are not that sweet. They're rather starchy. And that's what we're looking for this mofongo. In fact, if you can hear, I'll hold it up to the microphone. You can hear me peeling the skin, the green skin away from the plantains after I cut a strip down. Just use my thumb and I can pretty much run it underneath the peel to separate it from the flesh. Plantains are something I've talked about before, but you do have to cook these really in order to eat them, whether you're cooking them when they're ripe or not. You can't really just eat a plantain straight. At least I'm not aware of how you would do that. All right, I'm peeling the other plantain. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut these into medallions, maybe 1 inch or less in length. Okay, go ahead and cut these up. Whatever you do when you're cutting them, you want to cut them as similar in width as possible. I'm actually cutting these to probably more like 3/4 inch, not quite an inch. But anyway, you want them the same thickness so they all cook roughly the same rate. And I'm not using a really big kettle. I didn't get out my full-blown enamel Dutch oven to fry with. I'm just using a stainless steel saucepan. So I'm going to have to do a couple of batches of these. But we're going to fry these for 3 or 4 minutes per batch. We're going to drain them on a plate with some paper towels. And then we'll keep going until the batches are all done. And we'll move on to the next ingredient. Now I've got the oil heating. If you're using temp on this, you're looking for about 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Mine is not quite upper temperature, so I'm gonna let that go for a minute. And in the meantime, let me talk about the garlic. Now, if you don't wanna roast your garlic for this, you don't have to, you could just finely mince it. But I like mine roasted. And if you're like me, I always keep some garlic, heads of garlic around, but I don't always have a whole head of garlic to roast. My preferred method is, you know, slice a quarter of the head off the top, expose some of the cloves, drizzle it with olive oil, wrap it in foil, and throw it in an oven for 40 minutes or so. And then when it comes out, you've got that great, soft, buttery, fragrant roasted garlic. Well, if you don't have a whole head of garlic, or if you don't want to take the 30 to 40 minutes it takes to roast a whole head of garlic, here's a little bit of a hack you can do that's going to approximate roasted garlic in a fraction of the time. So I've got a little skillet, my smallest skillet that I've got, probably a 6-inch on my stovetop. I've probably got a tablespoon or maybe a little bit more of olive oil in there. I'm heating it over just under medium heat. I don't want to fry the garlic, but I want it to gently bubble and simmer. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and take a couple of cloves off this head of garlic. I'm not going to peel them. I'm not going to smash them or cut them open or anything like that. But I just want to grab a couple of cloves. Okay. Well, these are big cloves of garlic. Nevertheless, I'll do a couple. So I'm going to leave them unpeeled. I'm going to simply set them down into the oil. Again, we're not trying to fry these or crisp them up. We just want to gently simmer them in hot oil. I don't know how many minutes it'll take. We'll just keep an eye on it. We'll turn them in a little bit. But what we're looking for is essentially browning of the garlic. And when we see the garlic start to brown, we know that it's achieving that roasted consistency on the inside. And, you know, we've just roasted a couple of cloves without having to go through the whole rigmarole of doing a whole head of garlic in the oven. So we're going to let that go. I'm going to check my oil. Still not quite there, so we're going to let that come up to temperature a little bit more. In the meantime, I think what I'll do is prep my chicharrón, and I'm going to take a picture of this thing. Actually, I'll take a picture of all the ingredients and just put them online in the show notes so you can see them. But if you're thinking of chicharrones, and if you've never seen anything but the kind you get in the bag at the store that are called pork rinds, those are a form of chicharrone. Those are just usually the pork fat that's been fried and crisped up. You can find chicharrones that actually have not only the skin that puffs up, but some of the meat as well. It's basically a slice of pork side or pork belly that's cooked down and then fried until it
it crisps up and puffs up. So this chicharrón has a substantial bit of meat on it, which is great because it's also crispy, and that'll go great mashed inside the mofongo. What I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to cut these into relatively small pieces because it'll just be easier to mash these in if I'm not trying to crush down big chunks of this. I mean, these are coming in like foot-long strips. So I'm actually going to take, for this batch, probably about half of one of these and just cut these up into small pieces. So when it is time to incorporate them into the mofongo, they'll be part of the job will be done. I'm going to grab a bowl. For this chicharrón, I mentioned I stopped over at the Latin market in their hot deli. They make these every day, and they're really, really good, which is great because it's kind of a hassle to make, you know, at home. So this is just easier for me. You could do the same thing. If you don't have access to a Latin market or you don't feel like making a chicharrones at home, you could substitute bacon into this. It would work pretty good. So that could be an option. I would make the bacon crispy so it crushes up a little bit when you go to mash your mofongo together. All right, so I'm going to cut this up. And you can hear, I'm going to break it in half. You can hear how crispy it is. So you probably heard that. We're going to cut this up. Again, I'm just cutting it to maybe quarter inch chunks. This will be mashed into the mofongo. Maybe give it all just a quick dice through. I'm not trying to process it too much, but again, I don't want to have to deal with really huge chunks of this mashing it up with the plantain. So just making life a little bit easier ahead of time. All right, we've got a nice pile of the cracklings cut up there. My hands are nice and greasy now, so let me wash those real quick. I love snacking on those things. They're so good. They're so good. I know they're not super good for you, but you know what? Everything in moderation, right? Once in a while, good stuff. All right, let's take a look at the oil. Yeah, we're just about there. So I will bring my plantain medallions over and we will get ready to pop some of them in here. Probably gonna have to do, given the size of my pan, three batches. So in they go, maybe not, maybe two batches. In they go, we're gonna do these for about 3 to 5 minutes until they're golden brown. As they float to the top, we may have to turn them over. My oil is deep enough, it looks like, to get total coverage. So we'll let those go for a moment. And check my garlic that I've got gently bubbling away in some oil on the stovetop. It's looking good. These are really big cloves. They might take a little bit longer than I anticipated, but I can already smell them. I just move them ever so slightly in the oil, and I can already smell the roasted garlic aroma bubbling up. My gosh, that's going to be so good. So good. All right, let's see how the plantains are doing. They're doing good. I'm just going to give them a stir. I like to use, this is probably kind of corny, but I like to use a fish spatula. I may have mentioned this when I did the Johnny Cakes episode, but when I'm frying things, I like to use a fish spatula because it's easy to get in there and maneuver things around. It's very widely slotted, so you don't catch any oil. All right, everything's looking good in the oil. Of course, the temperature dropped down when I put those in, so I'm going to have to turn it back up just a little bit. I don't want to lose the heat in the oil. I want to keep these cooking. Whenever you're deep frying something, remember at the temperature you have it, if you're shooting for, let's say, 350 degrees Fahrenheit, whenever you put anything in the oil, the temperature is going to drop pretty rapidly right away. So sometimes it's not a terrible idea to go ahead and get your temperature even above 350 in this case. That way when it drops, it's still, you know, it's going to hover right around that 350 degrees or maybe a little bit lower, but it will rebound as the heat remains on the kettle, on the stovetop. You know, I don't do a lot of deep frying. I mentioned this before, mainly because, well, we don't eat a lot of fried foods, but it's a little bit of an effort, right, to get the deep fryer out and or a kettle with oil and then saving or reusing the oil, then disposing of the oil. Yesterday, I actually made some fried catfish. So I thought, well, I'll just I'll strain and I'll keep the oil and I'll use it for the mofongo. So that's what I'm doing. So at least I'm getting a couple of uses out of the oil. All right, the plantains have been in there for about 3 minutes. They're gonna need another couple minutes more, it looks like. They're not quite golden brown yet. I may have let the temperature drop a little too much. Turned it down a little too much on these, but we'll get back there. I'm going ahead and using the fish spatula here just to give them all a turn in the oil. They're floating now. Just wanna make sure they get brown nicely on all sides and cook through. Take a look at our garlic in the oil. That's looking pretty great. I'm going to go ahead and turn those over. Oh my gosh, they smell so good, just like wonderful roasted garlic. As I turn them over, I can see they're starting to get translucent on one side. You know how roasted garlic has that spreadable, buttery consistency? I can already see that happening with these cloves. So that is great. All right, we're about 5 or so minutes. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and these look good. I'm gonna take this batch of plantains out. I'm gonna put them on a towel, on a plate lined with some paper towels. And then I'm gonna do up the second batch of plantains. So let's take a quick break. When this batch is done, we'll come back. We'll take a look at everything we've got going on and we'll be ready to go ahead and build and mash together our mofongo. All right, we are back. My second batch of fried plantains are nearly done. And I just, as I let those finish up, I've taken the garlic out of the oil simmering. One way I know it's done is I just press a fork into them and I can feel the fork go in without much resistance. So I know those are nice and softened and cooked and they're gonna give off as I smell them. My gosh, they smell just like roasted garlic. They're gonna give that wonderful flavor. So now I've got my plantains, which are just about ready, my roasted garlic, my chicharron, and my salt for seasoning. These plantains are looking good. I'm going to go ahead and take them out. Those were in there for probably 5 minutes or so. They're beautiful golden brown right now. If you're in doubt on whether your plantains are done, you could certainly do the fork piercing method. They're going to have a little bit of resistance. They're not going to be extremely soft like you would think of a banana being, even raw. I mean, raw, these are hard. They're like harder than a potato as far as resistance if you were to try to press your fork into a raw plantain. Now, they are the consistency of not as soft as a cooked potato, but maybe halfway between cooked and raw. The fork goes in fairly easily, but there's still some resistance. Okay. Now we are ready to put together our first batch of mofongo. So I'm going to take, I'm going to shoot for about one whole plantain's worth of my plantain discs, which fills up my pilon probably about a little more than halfway. I'm going to go ahead and take one of my garlics. And what I love about this is it's not peeled, but if you just squeeze on one end, it'll pop right out of its peel, just like a nice roasted garlic clove would be. And then I'm going to take probably about a half a cup worth of my chicharron, and I'm going to go ahead and put that in the pilon as well. And then I am going to start mashing this. Let's see if you can hear that. Oh, this really does a great job of getting in there, mashing everything up. Oh, it smells so good. The plantains, even though they're not sweet, they just give off that aroma. Crushing everything up in there really great together. This is such a great tool for this. I've tried making this before, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, with a potato masher in a bowl, and it's so much more work. This really makes pretty quick work of it. I'm just going to take a fork and kind of move stuff around in here so I can make sure I'm getting everything off the sides and everything. Give it a few more mashes. But honestly, it's just about done. It doesn't take a whole lot more than that. Now, what I like to do here is I take a little bit of a little bowl. I'm going to grab a spoon, and I'm just going to put everything into a bowl. A really small, like a measuring type bowl, that's going to help me make a nice little shape for my mofongo. Into the bowl it goes. Everything's looking really good. Just getting it out of the pilon here. Yeah, beautiful. Smells amazing too, good grief. So I'm going to use my spoon to pack it into the bowl a little bit. Now I'm going to plate this by just popping it out and using this little bowl as a mold. I'm going to taste it real quick though. Mm-hmm. Nice, nice. Mm, just salty enough. This would be really good with something like a little garlic and pepper, lime sauce, an ahi sauce or something like that would be good. I'm going to go ahead and pop this onto my plate. There is a mofongo. Doesn't get much more complicated than that. I'm going to pair this up with a nice simple beef broth in my plate. And maybe just for color interest, I'll put just a little sprig of cilantro on top of the mofongo to make it, you know, visually more interesting. But that's it. That's your mofongo. As simple as that. Great Puerto Rican dish. If you like plantains, if you like chicharrón, this is something you should definitely try. I think you'll enjoy it. All right, everybody, that's it for the kitchen today. I hope you enjoyed cooking through this relatively simple Puerto Rican dish, mofongo. Hope you give it a try, and happy cooking. Hey everybody, I hope you enjoyed that live cook-through of mofongo. It's very easy to put together, although some of the ingredients may be tough to find depending on where you're at. The green plantains aren't exactly something found in every grocery store, but most larger ones, or certainly any markets that cater to Central and South America or the Caribbean cuisines, would have them. And the chicharrones, or the pork cracklins, again, not necessarily easy to find. In a pinch, you could use the kind that come in a bag, certainly. I prefer the daily fresh-made chicharrones, you know, with a little bit of meat still attached to them. But as I said in the episode, bacon works pretty good, too. Once again, to get to the show notes, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/213, and you'll find it there. All right, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, I've got a couple more Let's Cook, actually I have a Let's Bake and a Let's Cook episode lined up that I'm editing right now, so those should be out before too long. I've got some other episodes in the works as well, so a little more content coming out, a little more regularly again. I'm also trying to sneak in an episode featuring berries. I'm trying to time it though, because here in Oregon, I've mentioned before, our summer and our late spring has been a little weird. It's been a little cooler and wetter than normal. And I think the berry ripening windows are a little off kilter. So specifically, I'm looking at raspberries and blackberries, loganberries, boysenberries, marionberries, things like that. And they're not quite ready. And unfortunately, they're not always ready at the exact same time. But what I'm looking at doing is perhaps doing an episode on making berry jelly and talking about preserving and making jellies and things like that. So I will strike when the iron is hot. Hopefully I can get a hold of some good fresh berries in the near future and take care of that and get that out too. So if you're into berries, that'll be something to look forward to. All right, everybody, that is going to do it for another episode of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening along and being patient while I get more episodes out. I really, really appreciate it. Be sure to tell your friends and family about the show if you think they might get some value out of it. And I hope you're able to get in the kitchen and make the most out of the seasonal bounty in your area this time of year. So that will do it for this live cooking episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Until next time, I'm Roger. Happy cooking.